You ever see a Star Trek episode called Who Grieves for Adonis?
I don't think so.
You seen Who Mourns for Morn?
Probably. I've seen all DS9, so.
That's the one where he's got the liquid latinum in his like third stomach, and he like spits it into a glass for Quark.
Yep.
Is his bed like a pool of mud?
Morn?
Yeah.
They even show it?
Well, I feel like we meet his wife in that episode. I feel like I could be thinking of some guys on TNG that like live in mud. But I feel like someone hides in Morn's like bed of mud. Like someone is hiding under the mud. Listen, there's a lot of spycraft going on that episode. A lot of people are spying and listening in each other's conversations.
I forget. It's been too long.
Yeah.
I've been watching Voyager lately.
Well, that's cool. That's a good thing to do too.
Yeah, it's so funny sometimes.
God, it's insane.
Some episodes, you can tell. They're invested, they like the content, they're doing a good job, and other days they're just doing the 9 to 5.
Jesus Christ, somebody stole Neelix's lungs.
Yeah. Cass is real bad. Cass sucks. I hate Cass.
You seen the episode where she wants to get pregnant?
Yeah. And she has a kid in her back or something.
She has like hairy tits growing on her back.
Yikes.
To get pregnant with.
Yeah.
It's about time I watched DS9 again. I have watched Voyager more recently than DS9. I've thought about it a lot. Voyager, I've said either DS9 or Voyager is the best, and I don't know which one, but I think it's DS9.
Yeah, probably.
It had the right balance of standalone episodes and episodes that kind of went along with whatever Dominion War plot was happening. Cardassian, Klingon War. Multiple space wars in one TV show.
Indeed.
Did you watch DS9?
I watched DS9. I liked it a lot.
I liked Odo a lot. I liked the fucking Founders.
Odo was right.
All of the Wayoons.
Oh, the Wayoons. Oh, the Wayoons. Oh my god, the Wayoons are so good. Screaming and screaming and screaming. I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know if this is totally obvious, but I had to like have a YouTuber point this out to me that the character that seriously is only known as female changeling is that actress is the actress in the episode with the precursors in TNG who shows up and she's like, yeah, we made all you guys with genetic engineering. Right. Yeah, same lady. That's a cool one, too. They get Discovery Season 5 is all about those precursor people. Discovery, yeah. I liked season 5, but I could really understand why someone would not like any of Discovery.
Yeah. No chance.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the one with Scott Bakula?
No. That Scott Bakula was Enterprise in the early 90s. No, the early 2000s, sorry.
Yeah, that's better.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Discovery is from 2018 or so, and it has moments. It's got real good stuff that happens in it. And did I really? Yeah, I think season 2 and season 5 are really worth it. Somehow I just like cannot remember season 4. I don't know what season 4 was. Was that the Dark Matter event? Anyway, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of ups and downs in Discovery. There was a period, yeah. Well, yeah, I know it was season four where I sort of lost interest and don't really know, and now I don't really know what happened in any part of it, but I started watching again during season five, and I thought season five was great.
I think the only thing from Discovery that I saw was clips from the that crossover episode with Lower Decks.
Ah, that is Strange New Worlds.
Oh, that's Strange New Worlds. Oh, one of the of
I also
there's
think
so many
Strange New
stuff.
Worlds is excellent, but I do, but I am totally aware of that modern Strek. Bleh. I totally understand anyone that doesn't like any modern Star Trek shows, but I think Strange New Worlds is really good.
The production value kind of pisses me off.
That's right.
And like
Yes.
fight sequences,
All the
the
time.
camera shakes
Yep.
way too much. Like,
I see.
and it's
it's not like it's hard to watch or something, but it's like they don't need to tell me that it's an action sequence.
in space.
You know? Like, I fucking get it. It's just dumb and bad, and Alex Kurtzman deserves to run hell, and Jamie Lee Curtis with him,
Oh man,
and
all
they're
people
all
really.
fucking.
Did
So
J
it's like, hey guys, Paramount's burning money. Let's see what we can get them to agree to. And it does not make for good television.
Did
I
Jamie
see.
Lee Curtis do anything other than appear in that recent movie?
Nope.
Okay. That was her crime, just making
I know she was on the bear or whatever, but I didn't see the
Oh.
episode. I just know she was on it.
Well, I mean, I know she's done other things recently. I just meant, did she do anything? Did she commit any crimes against Star Trek?
Oh, I
As far as I know,
see.
Section 31 is the
Okay.
only thing she's in.
I almost, man, it's not quite the same thing, but it is sort of. Yeah, I hesitate to say it, but the new Star Trek shows are all kind of like Transformers movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. They all
Same
kind of.
like
Yeah.
ethos.
Yeah. They're all kind of Michael Bay-ish.
Michael Bayish, got it.
Yep, I've
Holy
said
shit.
this before,
Ooh.
but I hate how you can tell people are emotional because they make them cry. Like all the time. Some stupid person is crying, they
Some
don't
stupid
have
person is
to.
crying.
Yeah, there really is a lot. There really, like every once per episode, there's a scene where someone, their emotional arc, or the way we're going to develop their character in this episode is they're crying somewhere, and someone has to
I
find them and
see.
comfort them. God, that's constantly happening. Or freaking out in some other way. Honestly,
It's
like a
like
lot
that,
of.
I was gonna say it's like the tone of modesty that TNG, Voyager, DS9 kind of have
Okay,
is
yeah.
like eroded in the Alex Kurtzman shit.
A lot of it is really tropey and cliched kind of writing. It's a lot of stuff. It's like almost like sort of how I was saying, like that scene happens a lot. A lot of it is either scenes that are just being recycled or just scenes that you have seen before in some other movie. Just like really typical
I see.
type A person, type B person, and then this person having a crisis. And it's just those sort of scenarios. Man, boy, I really do like it, but you really can shit on it. Like, it's still a lot of it does still feel very Star Trek to me, especially parts of season five and two of Discovery and season three of Picard. But a lot of it is so transformery. What's Zack Snyder been doing? Did he do anything after the Justice League and stuff? Oh, didn't he do like a fake Star Wars for Netflix? Was that him? Hey, Saint.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How do you feel?
So what is up? Are we mourning for Adonias?
Yeah. We are. Is it mourning or grieving? Is it who grieves for... Is it Adonias or Adonis? Do I not know how to read?
It might actually...
Oh, I'm not even streaming.
No, you're not. But I know this episode, I think.
Yeah, let's see what it's called. Who mourns for Adonias? Oh, wow. Yeah. It's not even Adonis. And it was mourning, not... Because there's an episode called Who Mourns for Mourn.
I think maybe that you should actually still pronounce it Adonis.
Oh, really? We'll see how they pronounce it.
I don't Adonis. Think they're going to say it at all.
Oh, really?
I don't think they're going to even say it at all at any point.
What's this about?
It is about Greek gods.
Oh, okay. Oh, is this where the Zeus girl is from? In Lower Decks?
Maybe. I know about the... I do know... I'm thinking about the Zeus girl from Lower Decks, and I forget where she says she's from, but this could easily be where she's from, yeah.
Cool.
Oh, yeah, the one that shoots lightning.
Yeah. She's from a TOS episode that involves Greek gods.
I think I'm pretty sure this one, which is the only Greek gods episode.
Excuse my, like, coughing and sniffling and anything. I might cough a lot.
It happens.
Well, all right. Well, good. Well, hey, everyone. Thanks for being here. Hello. Welcome back to The Least Ready Room, a podcast where a variety of different people often talk about Star Trek on the internet, and often there is a fair amount of marijuana involved. This season is getting off to a great start. I forgot that we did a question of the week. I forgot that was part of the show. So this week we have answers. I did ask one. And I mean, and also this week is like 3 weeks late. I don't know. A lot of things, as always. Do I often say a lot of things are changing? There usually are. There's usually one or two big things going on. I've been living a fluctuating type of lifestyle these past... several years or a decade? Anyway, what the fuck? Why do I always have to say weird shit? Why am I always saying odd shit like that? What was I saying? I missed a few weeks. Sorry. Let's keep watching Star Trek and talking about marijuana. The question of the week, I need to oil my chair. I've said that probably months and months ago. This is a different chair. It's not a new chair. It's an old creaky chair. I got a bottle of WD-40 somewhere. Where is it? The question of the week was, oh my, I totally forgot about doing questions of the week, so here goes one. Who is your favorite Greek god, or what is your favorite story from Greek myth? Roman is fine too, I'm not sure the difference. Pete says, Eris, the goddess of discord and strife. She's also known as the personification of chaos, of course. Locke provides the dictionary definition of the word panic. Let's see. It says, sudden mass terror, especially an exaggerated fright affecting a number of persons without visible cause, or inspired by trifling cause or danger, 1708. From an earlier adjective, circa 1600, modifying fear, terror, etc., from French panique, 15th century, from Greek panikon, literally pertaining to Pan, the god of woods and fields, who was the source of mysterious sounds that caused contagious, groundless fear in herds and crowds, or in people in lonely spots. In the sense of panic and fright, the Greek word is short for panikon deima, panic fright, from neuter of panikos of Pan. Yeah, I don't, the end of that, the etymology, I don't know how to parse all of those things I just said. Anyway, Locke goes on, the feeling you get when you're deep in the woods and suddenly things are not right and you can't quite say why. Pan is my fave for this. Also, Arthur Machen's Great God Pan is a good story. I feel like I'm, maybe other people have recommended that I read The Great God Pan. Arthur Machen?
Raven says, I guess it's kind of basic, but Bacchus, yeah! Known also to the Greeks as Liber, or Dionysus, was a pretty cool guy. He messed with human lives a lot, as the other gods did, but he had women who got drunk and danced in his name, called Maenads. I don't recall them as being women, exactly. They were female in energy, but I think they were some type of monster that ate people in the mountains. So he had good taste. Part of that was part of that was me, Dave, cutting into Raven's answer. Let's continue. Raven continues. Also, gotta respect Aphrodite. Guys who had her favor usually came out on top, even if they weren't the strongest or smartest. And as for a myth, I literally have a Medusa tattoo. I guess she might be a Roman myth, because the most popular account of her comes from a Roman named Ovid, who wrote the myth of Perseus taking her head while using a mirrored shield to protect himself, though her story goes much earlier in the Greek tradition. I listened to a bit of a podcast called Let's Talk About Myths. That sounds fun. Oh, Let's Talk About Myths, Baby. That went into a lot of Greek, well, myths, but also some plays in history. Some of this is fresh in my mind. Great answer, Raven, and Let's Talk About Myths, Baby. That sounds awesome. I have talked about doing some kind of show about mythology and marijuana. Stoned people telling myths and discussing myths and folklore. I wonder what Dionysus would say about that. I wonder if he was only into wine. Did they have pot in Greece? Atheist Man says Dionysus for sure. Toronto ABC says I've always been partial to Hades. And Saint 242 says my favorite Greek myth story is the whole Odyssey. And his second favorite is Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Grav is hyped to see Kristen Nolan's adaptation of Assassin's Creed Odyssey. That's not exactly correct. Anyway, here is two conversations I had with various people. The second one may just be with Chris. Of course, if I just figured out what the format of the show was going to be, I wouldn't have to explain the format and what we were doing every episode. So let's talk to some people about who mourns for Adonis. Who mourns for Adonis?
A poem for the pastoral elegy that was written by Percy Shelley after John Keats died, relating to him. And according to Wikipedia, because that's the only thing I've read so far, obviously, is Shelley had studied and translated classical elegies. The title of the poem is modeled on ancient works such as Achilles, a poem about Achilles, and an epic poem, the first century AD Roman poet Statius, and refers to the untimely death of the Greek Adonis.
Okay.
So
we got a little bit of a Hyperion connection right there.
But it still doesn't make a lot of sense in that.
No. Well,
I can see where they're trying to tie it in with the whole, like, you know, death of Apollo stuff. Yeah. But
well, they not also, really. I think in some of these episodes, they do like to use like a line from a poem or some other classical reference to, you know what I mean? Like a line from Shakespeare. Yeah. Oh, hey, Daisy. Something like that. That sort of structure has.
Scrolling down, there's even a little chunk that's called Star Trek episode. The title of the Star Trek original series episode, Who Mourns for Adonis, is an allusion to the Shelley elegy. Stanza 47, line 415.
What's going on with you guys? How goes things?
We were just talking about Star Trek.
Yeah, that's Greek to me. I've seen quite a bit of.
You want to be on a podcast, Daisy?
Do I want to be on a podcast?
Yeah.
I don't know. Sure.
All right. It was DS9.
Yes.
How'd you like it?
Yes, it was.
You remember more?
And I remember, like, nothing about it.
You don't remember who mourns for Morn?
No, I don't know. I'm guessing that's an episode.
Yeah, he coughed. He had the latinum in his second stomach, and in the end, he threw it up into a glass.
I don't think he actually died, though, did he?
No, he did not die. He faked his death, and I think he hid his body in his bubbling mud bed or something.
Yeah,
he didn't die.
I feel like looking. I pulled up the memory alpha for that episode really quickly, and I feel like the little picture of Morn that they've got, like that bit, looks familiar.
Yeah,
like they've got like a funerary photo, and like people gathered around the car, right?
Yeah, they do have a funeral for him. Yeah, for sure.
And that looks vaguely familiar, but I don't remember ever having seen the actual episode.
It's a caper. So basically they're looking for his latinum that he stole. And it turns out in the end of the episode, not only is he alive, but he has extracted the latinum and made it into a liquid form, and it's in his third stomach.
It's late too. It's season 6.
Oh. Yeah, it took a while for Morn to like become a popular character.
Well, he was in almost every episode for ages, wasn't he?
It's very possible.
They went to the bar, he was there.
Yeah, I'm honestly not sure. He may be one of those characters that was like in the background of every single episode. I don't know. It would make sense if he was, because yeah, you definitely saw him a lot. Did you, Daisy, did you tune into any of the episode we just watched while we were streaming?
I came in like 10 minutes, like 5 minutes ago, maybe not that long ago. I caught like the very end.
So mostly just yelling at lightning bolts.
Yes, exactly. It was quite interesting.
Yeah, I feel like not a lot happens in this one. Like I pointed out during it, there's just a lot of the scenes are just repetitive of him saying, I'm a god and we demand worship, and also we were very horny and we were gods of love, and all the dudes being like, well, we don't care and we're leaving, and he's like, I cannot allow you to leave, and then they just go through it again 3 or 4 times, like talking to a drunk person.
Yeah, like I was saying to you, I felt like a lot of that was them trying to really like drive home that manipulation, that controlling stuff, right? Like that's quite common with manipulation tactics, is just repetitiveness, right? So you convince the person that this is what they believe now.
Right.
That's kind of how it felt to me.
It does. And it does. It is. And it is that kind of thing. These gods are really displaying toxic sociopath behavior.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, these are bad gods. It's good that he's the last one. Which it is kind of interesting to me that we've basically said, although we don't really confirm it, it's Kirk's theory, but he's basically saying, yeah, I guess there were ancient aliens, and these are them, and they suck. Let's blow them up. Which is
funny. There's been a lot of like hints of that, though, to media in general, where like the idea that humanity started by like being an otherworldly race that came here, and, you know, original humans or the original people here were like those godly powered things, and then regular people grew up around them, you know, subjugated by them and just not knowing any better and not knowing how to talk about them better, right? So I do like that they brought that in, and the way that Star Trek has done it too, like hitting on all that stuff, you know.
Yeah, it is. I mean, yeah, it definitely is. I don't know if I want to use the word trope just because I use it a lot, but that is a structure of, you know, storytelling that is in us. You know, honestly, that is a structure of myth that we've had for a long time.
Call it a trope. Star Trek, honestly, especially with the original series, relies very heavily on tropes to shortcut, because like instead of having to do a crazy amount of world building and exposition every episode, because they are dealing with like, you know, new aliens and new worlds and new cultures all the time, instead of spending half the episode going over all of that stuff so that everyone else can catch up, they rely on those tropes to shortcut their storytelling and make it easier for everyone else to catch on and be on the same page, right? So a trope is a trope, and they have valid uses within storytelling.
Yeah, I really agree with you. And I think that
in this particular episode, they may have relied too heavily on some of those shortcuts because there's not a lot of story. That's really just yelling and lightning. I gave this one a 4. That's I was the one that gave this a 4, and I think might have all Saint.
I don't think I'm quite at a 4. Like, don't get me wrong, it's not great. Definitely a bit on the dry side and could have been done better, been a bit punchier, you know what I mean? But like, I don't know. I think I'm willing to give it a 6. Like, overall, I think I don't mind it. I think it could have been better. But yeah, it didn't. It's like, when was it that we last, we both gave some low ratings of like season one, and they were like
the ones at the end, yeah.
And they were like actually just straight up bad episodes, right? So like, that's where I'm looking at it from. Like, I don't feel like there's some stuff that, or like Star Trek, the Section 31, I think we both rated pretty low too.
Oh yeah.
And like, I don't feel like this is on par with that. I think it's still a little bit above that. You know what I mean? As a side note, I don't know if you want it now. We forgot to do stats before the episode started, or are we skipping those?
Oh man, I forgot the whole structure of this thing. I forgot about the question of the week. I forgot about stats. Yeah, hit me with them. Let's have them.
So the episode was directed by Mark Daniels. It was written by Gilbert Ralston. I think this might be our first time seeing Gilbert Ralston. And the original air date was September 22nd, 1967. And IMDb actually gives it a 7.1 out of 10.
All right. Yeah, you know what? And I do feel like this is a well-known one. I feel like a lot of this imagery is, I mean, just the golden laurels, the fact that this type of creature ended up on Lower Decks, which, you know, which I think is great. And
yeah,
I just think I think people probably, I don't know. I think obviously there are Star Trek episodes that a random person that would come to mind. And I think if you're a little bit familiar with it and someone is like, you know, the one where they talk to the Greek gods and you're like, oh yeah, the guy with the golden laurels, you know, I feel like it's relatively known. And I think a lot of them get a higher rating because they're in, you know, they're familiar and in the common lexicon.
I don't know for sure how much of it's that. Like, I feel like a part of it too, part of why they get the higher rating too, is just that like they have such consistent tropes that come up in other media, not even like Star Trek like tie-ins, but like just generically other media hits those same kinds of things. Like hero's journey type thing, you know, where like that's in Star Wars, but it's also in 8,000 other properties, and it doesn't tie into Star Wars specifically, but it helps make the Star Wars story more accessible. Sure, I think that's a part of it too.
That's sort of what I was saying about mythological structures versus just tropes. Like, this is like there's a whole structure here of a story that we already know, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it definitely does feel like they cribbed pretty heavily from Greek mythology. Like, outside of obviously taking like
other than the obvious.
Yeah, but I mean, like, in actual, like the actual story structure, it feels like a Greek myth.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah, not a bad little show. Definitely could have, like I said, used some punching up. I think this concept would have been better done on like DS9 or TNG.
Okay. Yeah.
I think the storytelling for a modern sensibility in the original series is just too different for this to hit well now. You know what I mean?
You know what TNG episode comes to mind? Do you recall an episode where like an entire planet sells their planet to the devil?
I do not.
Oh, I can't wait. That one's awesome. Picard schools the devil in a courtroom.
I really, really, really just need to sit down and start binge watching Trek again to catch up on this stuff. Like, I know I've seen this stuff.
We're really almost at TNG.
Yeah, we're only like 6 years away.
Yeah, we only have to watch the animated series and then like 10 movies. So,
actually, we've only got the motion picture. I think, it is 1 through 4. 1 through 4 are all, and then TNG starts. My mistake.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, man, we get to watch Whales and then TNG.
The whales is the best part.
But this is the best part. So like,
the encounter whales is at the absolute point, pinnacle of Star Trek.
It is. But encounter at Fairpoint, parts 1 and 2 are literally the things we're watching right after the whales. So it's like we have to save the whales for Earth, and we have space whales right afterwards. Oh, it's gonna be great.
Where you want to go in the time machine that I'm offering to you?
Oh, if I can go, what, like, any, does it have to be on Earth?
Well, it can't be in a fictional place, so, I mean, if you want to go to Mars and be alone.
Well, like, I'm wondering, because, like, I'm assuming in the future that we're going to have expanded and have a more interesting future than being just on the one planet.
This is a time machine that I'm your neighbor, and I've built a time machine in the basement.
Okay, so we're sticking to, like, only Earth, future or past, and that's it?
I mean, yeah, you can go to... I mean, you can go to the future and then find out what other planets there are to go to.
That's where I'm at. I don't think there's a lot of the past that I would love to be a fly in the wall. That'd be interesting to watch, but like, I don't want to live in it.
1987.
Yeah, no.
No.
No. No, I was alive in 87. I was two. I've got photos. I know what it was like. No, there's not a lot of our history that I want to relive again, other than like as a fly in the wall to watch it. But I don't want to have to live in that era. Like if it could be like a TV screen, sure.
Okay.
I don't want to be, as a great example, people always talk about wanting to go back to like the 50s and 60s. Like those are some of the eras that people really want to do. And I'm like, yeah, but like, We just figured out a couple of major vaccines that we kind of should have had. There was a lot of war. There was a lot of inequality. I'm a woman. So there's like, we talked about it, I think, last episode with Amok Time, where like 1974, American women were given the full right to vote, like, or whatever. To divorce, I mean. Like, there was a lot of that kind of inequality kicking around. And I just don't want to. Yeah, and I just don't want to be a part of that. I wouldn't mind things like, I'd love to watch Stonewall happen, for example, like, or like the Million Man March, like these massive world changing events. I'd love to see them, but to have to exist in that time frame with all the other crap around it, like, I just, no thank you, you know?
Yeah. I'd probably be able to buy a house in 1976.
Well, that's the joke we always have.
And to be honest, when I'm talking, I mean, obviously, I want to go back and watch Star Trek in a movie theater. I want to buy old action figures, you know. Yeah. But if I went back to 1982, I know I've said a different year every time. If I went back to 1980, I could afford to fucking live. So
yeah,
that's where.
Yeah, we've joked about it. Where like if we actually could go back in time, like the 50s or 60s, where we only have to have. But one of us work.
I mean, that's a, yeah. And I don't want to say the 50s and 60s were worse or more racist or more sexist.
No, well, they were.
But they were. But the reason I don't want to say that they were worse is because it all is. It all was. It always was.
Yeah.
And everything is.
The only reason I say the 50s or 60s is because, like, at that stage, I could still have stayed home.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I could still have stayed at home and he could work all the time. So we'd have that division of labor a little bit more than what we can do in, say, the 80s. But also, like,
You could make that work in the fucking 60s.
Yeah, and we could afford a house. And I could just be, like, at home doing the at-home stuff, which is all I want to do anyways. Like, I don't want to have a job. I'd love to be a stay-at-home spouse and taking care of my household, making sure it's clean. I don't like the idea of cooking as much, but whatever. I can make that work, you know? Like, I'd rather do that. So that's where we've landed on our conversations. I love the idea of the Victorian era.
Ooh,
but
I cholera.
Don't actually, yeah, but I don't actually want to live in it. You know what I mean? Like, it's a hypothetical. This sounds like
really,
it'd be fun.
Basically, any earlier than say 1950, you're just going into disease town.
You are. Well, it's like the chainsaw. I think that was invented in like the mid 1800s to aid in childbirth.
What?
The chainsaw was invented to help cut women open when they were in the middle of childbirth because they weren't open enough for the child to come out. Pre-anesthetic, they were taking chainsaws to women. I'm like, no, thank you.
So I feel like this episode is kind of
we've gone off topic a wee bit.
A small chainsaw.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how big they were, but sorry, early 19th century. My apologies. Apparently, it was 1918.
Gas powered?
The first portable chainsaw was developed and patented in 1918, is what the internet's saying. Real quickly, I haven't looked more. I would assume gas powered, though. I figure electrical power would be like later discovery, you know, because like we figured out gas before you figured out electricity.
I wonder if you had to have a guy or a monkey crank it.
Looks like a medical bone saw that they've got here, chainsaw, it's got a crank, so.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's just, I look on history that way through that lens, where I'm like, there's all this other shit that I know would be happening. And as much as I love the idea of being like, you know, in the aristocracy, having a life of leisure back in like Victorian era, obviously, that's not how it would happen.
In any of these time periods, I'm rich.
Oh, of course. I wouldn't want to be poor in any time period at all.
In any of these time periods. Like, but if I took the $5 that I have in my pocket and went back to 1865, I could buy 3 houses.
But yeah, no. So long story short, right now is a pretty decent, like, as much as there's parts of the path that I think would be interesting to go see and experience, I don't want to live them.
Great.
Yeah. Because, yeah, it's just, you're asking for, I don't want diseases. I don't want polio. I don't want smallpox. Like, there's a bunch of that stuff that's like, these are prolific and everywhere. And no, thank you. You know?
Whatever year Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home came out is the pinnacle of human
society. 1986.
That's it. Yeah, that was it. Yeah, also, Transformers the movie and Aliens came out that year. I think that's the answer.
It's a pretty solid year for media. 85. I found it in my birth year, 85, has actually the book for... There's a movie I really, really enjoy. It's one of my favorites. And my birth year is the year that the book that the movie's based off of came out. So now I'm looking for that to read. Because, like, it's awesome.
What is the title?
Perfume, A Story of a Murderer.
Oh.
It's about a guy who's, like, an orphan, and he's, like, a teenager in, like, I think... the late 1700s in France, and he's working at a tannery, and he ended up discovering like perfume and falling into that because he's got like a super sensitive nose, but all he's ever smelled is like the urine smell of the tannery, right? He gets really into this, and he ends up working under or learning under a perfumer, I think it was, on how to distill scent. And he becomes a murderer because he recognizes women. Some women in the area have like these amazing smells as their natural body smell. So he's like, I want to distill that. Oh. And so he's killing women to try and distill their scent to make the perfect perfume.
I think we've talked about this. I think I asked you if you knew about Bella Swan being smelly.
I don't remember if you did ask me about that, but no, I didn't. I don't remember her being smelly.
Oh, she is. Like, that's something, that's part of the whole, that's why Edward wants to be around her. She has like...
Okay.
And all the other vampires want to get her because she has a special vampire smell.
You know what I actually heard was that they aren't supposed to be vampires. Seth B. Meyer, the person who wrote Twilight,
yeah,
I think it was. Yeah. So she was raised like Mormon.
Okay.
And within their church, the description of angels is actually how, like, it's actually in line with how she's written the vampires in Twilight.
Ooh, whoa.
So these are actually supposed to be some like angelic beings that are obsessing about this girl.
Do Mormon angels like siphon life force out of...
I'm not LDS, so I'm not sure. But it's something I'll see if I can find it. It's some theory I found on, like, I ran into it on TikTok.
They have, like, a lot of wives.
And
they play the violin. That's what I know about Latter-day Saints.
It depends on your subset of Latter-day Saints.
I don't think that's Latter-day Saints at all, the wives.
I think it actually is. I think it's because like
it's Mormon fundamentalism.
Yeah, and which is still, I think the Mormon fundamentalism and the Latter-day Saints are just like going Catholic versus Protestant. It's still within the same church. It's just different sects.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, yeah, it's all Mormon. Yeah.
Yeah. So, actually, where I used to live in Brampton wasn't far from one of the Mormon temples. Cut the city park there, but I used to live near a Mormon temple.
Yeah, what was it like? Did they come out in ties and try to tell you what to do?
I only knew one person who identified as Mormon who went to that temple. And he was basically like, oh, you're not Mormon, you'll never be allowed in.
Oh.
And that was the extent of our conversations, was you're not good enough because you don't believe in our God.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, basically. Like, I'm sorry, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in your God. I don't care about your church. Like, enjoy. No disrespect to you. It's just not going to be my thing. And I'm not going to be upset that I can't participate, you know? But yeah. No, it's really, really pretty buildings. They did a very nice job of the outside of the building. It's like, it looks almost like a compound, though. It's got like a fence all around it that just looks like it's meant to keep everybody out. And I'm like, Christianity should be about bringing people together, not keeping everyone apart like that. So like, maybe reassess your goals here, you know?
There's something about Mormons in Battlestar Galactica.
I don't know enough about the show.
The guy, have you seen Battlestar Galactica?
I've seen parts of it, not a lot. Sci-fi was always on, and it was always on in the background. So like, I'd catch bits and pieces of whatever happened to be on TV, right? You know what I mean?
You know, so Dana Scully.
Yep. Did Gillian Anderson?
Yeah. Well, no, Dana Scully. I'm gonna start talking about her father, and I want to make sure you understand.
Oh, they're talking about the big character. Okay. Okay.
Her father calls her a nickname, Starbuck. And I really want to know if, in the writer's head, he was giving her that nickname because of Battlestar Galactica or because of Moby Dick.
That's a good question. I don't know.
So this episode is kind of it's not exactly a repeat of like another episode, but I feel like every scene in this we had already seen. The, like, mm-hmm. Let's make him mad. Let's taunt him. Oh, here he is with the girl. Like, now he's doing this. Here's the giant hand in space. I feel like all of these things were a piece of some episode in season one. And that's
I think it was like a nice little, like, almost like a clip show without being a clip show.
Yeah, it really was. It was just a lot of stuff we had already seen. A lot of concepts we had already seen more than once.
For sure. No, yeah, but I think they did okay. I think maybe that's why it's not like it's feeling kind of shitty too, because like feeling slow and stuff, because like I've already seen this movie gone, you know what I mean?
That's why, even as I'm talking about how there's a couple scenes repeating themselves even within this episode, I feel mm-hmm. like I've already seen them, so I already, even coming into them, I feel like they're already repeating themselves, so
yeah. But overall, like, I think the introduction of the gods in this way was good. I think being able to hit back on it, like, it's not even because of this episode, but like, I really like the Lower Decks character from like Zeus's grandkid, Ollie.
Yeah.
I really like her. So like, I'm, as much as the episode's kind of meh, at least like it gave us that as an option. And I'm really pleased by that. You know what I mean? Like getting these three gods established is nice.
Yeah. Like we have a connection to it eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, I think a lot of the failings of the original series and issues that I've had with the original series, fortunately, because of Lower Decks, like that has improved these episodes for me now. Because I'm like, yeah, that was on Lower Decks and they did it really nicely and callback was good kind of thing, you know? I think that helps.
I think some people would probably really disagree with what I'm about to say, but I think not only does Lower Decks familiarize the fan base with some of this stuff, but like it kind of canonizes it. Like it's almost like now in Star Trek, if I see someone walking around with golden laurels, I'm gonna be like, oh yeah, that's been in a couple things, you know? Like it almost like brings a lot of this old stuff that people have forgotten about into a new era. And that might be really easy for me to say that because I haven't seen this old shit.
I think it legitimizes a lot of the original series too.
Right, that's.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm pleased. I'm pleased with my 6. I don't think it deserves higher than that, but like I am pleased with the episode. Minor edits aside, you know?
Yeah, it's
like
fine. It could have been a half an hour long.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good way to put it. Yeah. A lot of the episodes that we've complained about, yeah, I think are just, they're too long, and half an hour episodes would have been nice.
Yeah, they spin their wheels a little bit. And you know, you gotta write a bunch of weekly episodes to get the, and then grind them out. You know, I'm sure they're not all going to be hits.
Well, with the way that media was done back then, again, we've talked about it, the changes where, like, online media nowadays, we can do episodes of varying lengths because it doesn't matter. I think it's the Lord of the Rings show on Amazon. Like, they have some episodes at an hour and a half. Some of them are an hour long. Like, it depends on the episode.
Yeah.
Whereas back then, like, no, you can only do it this length because it has to. So you're stuck putting filler that doesn't exactly mesh with the episode otherwise. Excuse me. All right. Well, only two more episodes until Miramir.
So, oh, cool. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Next is the Changeling, and then Miramir was after that.
Oh, the Changeling, huh?
Yeah.
Does some Irish forest spirit come into somebody's cabin and leave a fake?
You're asking me to remember an episode.
That's probably not what happens.
I don't know. I don't remember.
There's a movie called The Changeling from like the 60s that many people have mentioned that was.
This is about an intelligent Earth probe with a murderously twisted imperative coming aboard the Enterprise and mistaking Kirk for. It's not quite V'ger.
It's not quite V'ger. Okay, cool.
But it is. It is
not quite V'ger.
Oh man, now I think it's one of the characters is named Nomad, so I think that's who it is. Is Nomad.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. No, it's gonna be great.
Fuck you.
Well, I mean, he asked them to do something after, like, grabbing their ship.
Actually, right, that's right, with a big green glowing hand from space.
And then
yeah.
Demanding that they get their asses down there onto the surface.
And demanding that they worship him.
Yeah, he didn't get off on like a good foot. He could have been like, yo, hey, giant hand, wave. What's up? Come down here. Like you know, like a little come check this out, and you know they would have stopped because
yeah, that's their job.
Starfleet dudes love that shit. They'd be like, "Ooh, giant green glowing hand, this beckoning us on."
They're meeting strange new people in weird worlds or whatever they do.
And he could have been like, "Yo, I'm Apollo. I knew
remember me
5,000 years ago
from the Mediterranean.
He's been alone for 5,000 years.
Would you guys?" Give me some laurel leaves and maybe kill a deer. Kill a deer. And I like how their plan too was also to start laughing because they're like,
that's what you got to do to a guy like this.
This is really ridiculous. That's really ridiculous, dude. Kill a deer.
It seems like this kind of thing happens to these guys quite a bit. Is this more or less what happens in the Trelane episode?
Yeah.
They have to figure out where the thing to blow up is, and then they have to distract him. They get him mad, and then they blow up his Q accelerator or whatever.
Yes.
Something like that. Okay.
Yeah.
He's also sad because he hasn't seen people in 5,000 years, or maybe not. Or is he just a kid?
No, Trelane, it's the same thing, but for different reasons.
Okay.
You know? This one is like Apollo was like, yes, the Greek gods were real. I was real. I like how they jumped to the conclusion. Like, what if he's right and he was the Greek gods?
Mm-hmm.
That actually seems like a really low probability. It seems more likely that he's just fucking with us.
Yeah.
So I don't know why you're jumping to that conclusion, Jim.
I 100% thought that they were going to be like, oh, he read our data banks and looked at our history, and that's why he's pretending to be this person.
That makes so much more sense, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Lots more. The next time Kirk meets a god, Kirk is like, no, you aren't. Fuck you. What does God need with a spaceship?
Yeah.
Kirk learns his lesson from this guy in Trelane, and probably I assume this happens to Kirk like 10 more times.
I think so. This is like the prototype of a Star Trek episode where they don't know what else to do. Like, you get kidnapped by a godlike entity and he fucks with you for a while.
Yeah.
Eventually,
he takes the girl hostage for a little
eventually,
while.
Eventually, you show him through the power of love and or hate and
or humiliation.
Humiliation that...
Whatever the secret is that we're going to...
Yeah.
Whatever the secret weakness is this week.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to shoot it with phasers.
It's a lot then, like Sailor Moon or the Care Bears.
Yeah. And then we're going to say something poetic at the end, like, oh, who mourns for Adonis? I think that's a Percy Shelley Bysshe quote.
Oh, who's that?
He's a poet who's married to Mary Shelley. She wrote Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what was his name again? I forgot. Blake?
No, Percy Shelley. Percy Bysshe Shelley. Percy.
Apollo says, no sad faces and no Vulcans allowed.
Yeah.
I remember reading something about when she wrote that. It was like a weekend with a party with a bunch of friends, writers,
party,
and poets. And that's when they, and that's when Frankenstein was written.
Lord Byron was in attendance, I imagine.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. But,
I'm almost surprised that I haven't done this on this podcast. And maybe it's because maybe this is the first time Lord Byron has been mentioned, although I somewhat doubt it. I feel at one point in my life, one of my special talents, and now I feel I'm very high now, by the way. I did feel obligated whenever Lord Byron was mentioned to mention that I myself was capable of reciting the small bit of Byron's writing that is tattooed on Pam Poovy's back. And let's see if I can do it. I believe it goes, "For the angel of death spread his wings on the blast and breathed in the faces of the foe as he passed, and the eyes of the sleepers grew heavy and chill, and their chests heaved but once, then forever grew still." I didn't get it exactly right, but I did a way better job than when I tried to recite a Child Roland to the Dark Tower game.
Yeah, I definitely have seen this one before, at least a couple times, but it's not my favorite because it's just a repeat of that same, like I said, it's a repeat of that prototype, typical.
Yeah, they meet a lot of godlike entities on TOS.
Yeah, and the godlike entities fuck with them for a while until they either figure out what their like glowing weak spot is to shoot at,
this or the godlike even,
gets bored and walks away.
This isn't even the first glowing green body part or something we've seen in space. What did Charlie's parents look like?
They just look like going. He looked like
they
a
were
glowing,
a green face.
They were like a green face on the bridge, like, but like with like a flickering Wizard of Oz kind of effect
right,
on him.
Right, right.
It's like a wavery, yeah.
Who's the guy on TNG? I want to say Miglimo. That's obviously not correct.
That's definitely not correct. Which guy on
big,
TNG?
Big green face on TNG. I think he just like kills a guy because he's like, oh, weird, you can, like, kill these guys. And he's like... And he tells two people to, like, start mating.
Oh, I don't know. Like,
it's like New Gimo or something like that. Anyway, we'll get to TNG, obviously.
TNG.
I like that Apollo occasionally just becomes a giant to show off his grandeur, I guess.
Yeah, I know. And it really freaks everyone out. Kirk is like, oh my gosh, he's like 12 feet tall.
The way they do the effect is really funny because they show all of the crew members who are in attendance and they all are turning their gazes slowly upwards. And then it cuts to behind them and it shows green screen to giant Adonis. I feel like you may not have been here early on last week, Saint. We were talking about how we think that, or maybe you were here when I said this, but
We think that this season two is probably not remastered the way that season one was with the like 80s effects.
Oh no, it was definitely is.
Oh, it is. Oh, you noticed? Okay.
Yeah, I definitely
noticed. The green hand look like a new green hand to you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The phaser effects look much better.
Oh, sure. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and worship me just because we Greek gods need to be worshipped, and I managed to last 5,000 years. You got here just in time. If one of you insults me, I'm going to evaporate into the wind.
Like all my other buddies.
If you don't, I'm the last one. If you don't start worshiping me right now. Really, it's really good you got here today.
Get the fucking deer right now.
Yeah,
I need
seriously, it. Find it. Are there deer on this planet? I hope so. This is an unprepared. This guy is not prepared. Really, I just hope some humans come by so I can grab them with my space hand.
Yeah. Tell them to worship me.
So are we doing like the Marvel Norse gods that the Greek gods, is that canon to Star Trek? The Greek gods were ancient aliens?
Based on this one dude's testimony, I think so.
Kirk believed him, so it probably got written down in a history book or something.
I think I remember seeing it in some other like Star Wars compendium book or something.
I'm pretty sure that the girl in Lower Decks is related to one of these gods. I think she's the daughter of Zeus before Zeus evaporated. I think it was a reference to this episode.
I think it might be. I would have to go back and like dig through.
Yeah, I would have to figure out what episode she's on. Yeah.
Yeah, and what her name was, and if she is from Pollux 4 or whatever it was.
I think she is. And of course, the Greek gods were gods of passion, and suddenly there's a girl here for the first time in 5,000 years, so he has to kidnap her.
He's like, you're beautiful. I will make you a goddess, the mother of a new race of gods.
Those gods were really horny. They were having sex left and right.
They were doing it.
Literally the first girl he's seen. I mean, let's be fair.
It didn't even have to be a human girl from what I've
heard. That was an attractive young lady, but dude, literally the first one you saw.
I mean, it beats the whole concept of Zeus, you know, having sex with a cow or whatever. No,
I was about to say, it could have been a goose or a really attractive white cow.
Yeah.
To turn you into a cow. Yeah. Well, I think he had sex with somebody as a rain of golden liquid.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Damn. I'm not going to ache your yum, but I'm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I guess there's something to unpack there, that's for sure. Yeah, so they defeat him by getting the girl to insult him, and also while they're doing that, they shoot with the ship shoots his temple, which is his source of power, like Jelena.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she's like, I love him. And Kirk's like, get real.
He is.
Go be a scientist. She's like, oh right. I guess you're right. This is this is not gonna actually be a thing, right?
Okay. Go back up there and tell him off.
Yeah.
And it works.
That and the shooting of the phasers.
Yeah, I don't know. I've seen it before. I feel like I've seen every part of this before.
Yeah, a four.
Am I getting kind of cynical? I feel like I'm getting more.
No, because there are some good episodes in this season.
I'm sure there will be.
This is just not one of them.
Not just with Star Trek. I feel like within the past month or so, I've been more willing to give things bad scores or bad reviews.
Yeah.
And, well, maybe that's good. Maybe I'm more. I don't know that. I don't know. That doesn't make me more open-minded, but I'm more flexible. You know what? I tend to review a lot of stuff that I fucking love to begin with. So I can't love all of Star Trek. That would be nonsensical. And the new stuff is really Michael Bay, J.J. Abramsy.
J.J. Abrams ruined Star Trek. No, that's not fair. He didn't like ruin Star Trek, but it certainly It all has to look like real, like high contrast lighting,
incredibly shiny
lens flare shit. LED lights. Nowadays, yeah.
You know what? You know what? Modern Star Trek looks like a lot as well. It looks a lot like Minority Report when he was interacting with all those screens and touch screens before that was like a thing in the real world.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, everything looks like Minority
Future Report. Future imperfect. Yeah.
Since Minority Report, dude.
Minority Report was like very influential. That like type of that, future like nonsense. Like
UI. That nonsense UI. Look, it was all over fucking Marvel movies.
Yeah, it is. It is all over Marvel movies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Thanks, Philip K. Dick. He didn't, you know. Bruce. He didn't design the. Neither of those men designed the look of that movie, but thanks to both of them. Thanks to Tom Cruise for doing that excellent scene where he chased his eyeballs down the hall. Yeah. Real good. Real classic cinema. I wonder what the book was like.
I don't know. Probably more weird. Philip K. Dick books were weird.
Yeah, the androids and sheep is insane and nothing like Blade Runner.
No, nothing like Blade Runner at all. Blade Runner is great, but it's its own thing.
Blade Runner is really good, and so is the other one. The Ville Venue Blade Runner. Incredible. Both of them are incredible. Harrison Ford.
Masterpiece.
I appreciate Harrison Ford so much as an old man. As a cranky old man.
He's so cranky. It's so funny. Perfect. It's funny how cranky he is. I am actually kind of excited to see him in this new Marvel movie, the new Captain America movie, as like a giant fucking Red Hulk.
I'm a little bit mad.
It'll be hilarious.
It's a little weird. They're putting out a movie called Thunderbolts.
Yeah.
That Red Hulk. His name is Thunderbolt Ross.
Yeah.
And that team, the Thunderbolts, is like a paramilitary team that he put together.
So, yeah, but not in this continuity. He doesn't put them together.
That's really fucking weird.
What's her face puts it together.
It would
whatever, man. Thunderbolt is a last name. He didn't just because he's the general who's called Thunderbolts. He can't like copyright all of Thunderbolts everywhere. He'd get in trouble with Thor.
It wouldn't bother me if they weren't putting him in a different movie at the exact same time. It's bizarre to me. Because it's not just like, they don't just have his name. It would be like if it was the X-Men. It's not even like if it was the X-Men and then Professor X was in a different movie. I wouldn't even give a shit about that. It's like his team. Like, it's weird to me. I don't care. It's stupid. It's a stupid thing to be bothered by because I'm not even watching these movies anymore. But I think it's so weird. It like doesn't, I don't get it. Something about it doesn't feel right to me.
I understand.
As a matter of fact, I don't know who any of those fucking characters in that Thunderbolts movie are. None of them, I think, are on the original team or ever in the Thunderbolts comics. So I have no idea. Yeah. So I guess, I guess it doesn't matter. I guess I have no idea what I'm talking about. And yeah, Thunderbolt Ross doesn't own the term Thunderbolt. Apple copyrighted it as a power adapter source, whatever.
Now they're stuck using USB-C like everybody else.
Yeah, because of Europe, someone said?
Yeah, because of Europe.
So everyone uses USB in Europe?
Europe passed a law that said
everybody's
got to conform to the same standard to reduce e-waste and stuff like that everyone can have the same cables.
Okay.
So they decided like, well, the standard right now is USB-C. So Apple, you got to make USB-C. And they were like, fuck it. I guess we'll just make USB-C everywhere. That'll be cheaper for us too.
At least it's not micro.
Yeah.
And they made it sound like it was their idea.
Oh, Apple did?
Yeah, of course.
Of course they did. Of course they did.
Offering increased bandwidth.
Oh, does it
attach external storage?
Yeah, it's better than FireWire for sure.
No external storage on the Thunderbolt? I don't
care.
No, I'm just saying it's.
Yeah. You mean lightning?
Oh, was it lightning bolt? It wasn't a thunderbolt.
No,
lightning cable precedes USB-C on iPhones.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been calling that a thunderbolt cable.
Why? You want everything to be named after Harrison Ford?
I do. Now I know it's yes. I didn't even know it. I have some kind of thunderbolt fetish.
There is something called Thunderbolt, but I'm not sure how it differs from USB-C.
Isn't that like on like motherboards now? Like there's an option for that? Thunderbolt?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Speed storage plus power delivery, maybe?
Lightning cable. They must have, yeah. They did a Shazam on me or something. I don't remember them ever being called. I'm looking at lightning cables on Amazon right now.
Shazam, that's shit. Shaq, right?
I think if we are speaking about, as far as I know, as far as in the reality that I come from, Shaq is Kazam. The Shazam movie is imaginary. Okay.
Okay. Just, I know.
All right. You never know. I like, because then they shot scenes from a Shazam movie with Sinbad and put them on the internet to further fuck people up.
I didn't know about that.
That did happen. And I actually I saw that today. That's probably why I was thinking about it. Yeah.
Hilarious.
Incredible. I mean, what a fucking time to be alive.
Nothing is real.
That's, I mean, that's, yeah, I agree. Really.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, so that's, thanks. Yeah, so thanks welcome. For, yeah, welcome to season 2.
Thanks for showing me this rather forgettable episode of Star Wars.
It really was. And we were talking Trek. About we were talking Star about Trek. How Some Star Trek, it's a Star something. Yeah, Star Show. Yeah. One of these.
Star Show.
Starville 9, Deep Space.
Starville 9.
A Star War.
Go see a Star War.
Well, gang, this has been great hanging out watching Babylon 5.
I have a buddy who raised Babylon 5 higher than Star Trek.
Wow. I've never seen that.
Is Chekhov, is Walter Koenig on there?
I don't know. Oh, okay. No idea.
I think you might
Nuclear
be.
Wessel.
Nuclear Wessels.
Same. Nuclear Wessel.
I forgot about Chekhov's jokes about every time somebody has, everybody has some, everybody's, anytime anyone says like, oh, that's an Irish saying or that's a Vulcan saying or, you know, that's, you know.
That does he have the Russian version of it?
He's like, no, it was invented in Russia. He's like, no, that is not, that saying is not from Hungary. It is from Russia.
Oh, I didn't know that was a running joke.
Is a running joke for him. Or he'll be like, oh yeah, when the Russians invented the light bulbs. You know, and people will be like,
oh my god, what was it this episode? I've already forgotten.
Yeah, I don't even remember this episode, but
it was something about a story.
Yeah, it's like a Russian story.
And it was a British story, but he. Yeah, fuck. Exactly. I can't believe we already forgot it.
Scott, are you all right, kid?
Where's Apollo?
He disappeared again, like the cat in that Russian story.
Don't you mean the English story, the Cheshire Cat?
Cheshire? No, sir. Minsk, perhaps.
All
but...
right, all right.
Yeah, it was fairly innocuous, but he does that a lot. Yeah, he's like, yeah, Chekhov. Everything is Russian. Everything good.
That's awesome. I can't wait to see what other weird versions of British things or whatever things. Man, I thought it was pretty good, whatever he said that the... Oh, well. I've already forgotten it. I was forgetting the episode as it was at... At that point in the episode, I was already like, oh, it's the Trelane thing or just some other Q episode again. There have been so many... There were so many Q episodes in season one.
Yeah.
And here's another, so hooray. Fine. That's fine. We'll see what... Yeah, we'll see what happens next.
Yeah.
And yeah, right. thanks for joining me, guys. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for having us, gang.
Talk to y'all really soon.
Yeah. Well, you're
good.
Nice to hang out.